Well, good afternoon, everybody. I appreciate you being on the conference call. There's a lot of people on it. Still a lot of people coming on. But we'll go ahead and get started. Wow, I'm losing my voice. I was fine until I came on. Anyway, sure appreciate you being on the call, as I said. And the reason why I wanted to have this conference call is because I think it's really, really necessary for me to give you a little bit of a heads up on what I'm seeing and what I believe is going on right now. I mentioned on the program this morning that there are three areas that I think are extremely important as I look at what could be coming down the road as far as the economy goes. And then there's a couple other side things, but the three main things that we look at is, not we, as if there's other people, I'm not going to speak for whatever everybody else looks at. But one of the things that always create enthusiasm or concern, optimism or pessimism, is auto sales. I look at auto sales. I think auto sales are a very telling sign as to what consumers are thinking. What the auto industry is doing to generate sales is a telling sign of what the business environment is thinking. So that's one thing. The other thing is construction. Construction is huge. I think it's probably one of the biggest areas that we need to be thinking about and watching as, you know, as we move through any economy. So we get a lot of great information based on what is happening in the construction sector. The other thing that I like to watch for is casual dining and what's happening there. So I watch those things very closely. Now, two of those things are consumer-driven kinds of things. One is more of a business side of things. And when I say construction, I'm looking at builder sentiment, builder confidence. We're looking at new home sales. We're looking at existing home sales and permits that are being issued. Pending home sales, I don't pay any attention to. It's there. I look at it. The other thing with housing or construction I talked about is we're looking at mortgages, mortgage rates, refis. They're all very important as we look at that. And we look at construction lending. So this is lending that are construction loans, development loans, so we look at those things. So when I say three things, one of those things is made up of about seven or eight different items. So when we look at auto, I'm looking at tire sales. I'm looking at what is going on with tire manufacturing, what is going on with rubber. Primarily, there are two kinds of tires. There's new car tires and there's used car tires, two very different animals. But one thing for certain is rubber and rubber plantations and rubber as a commodity is a big part of that. So I look at that. I also look at auto parts sales when it comes to automobile sales and automobile kinds of things. I look at what's rolling off the assembly line, at what numbers, and what is happening with retrofitting assembly lines and what the sentiment is on that. And that's been fairly negative as well. So we look at all those things. When I look at casual dining, I look at trash pickups at restaurants. That's one of the things I kidded about this morning. I said, I don't think anybody looks at that. Trash pickup is huge. And when we see an increase in that, that is usually a very good thing for the economy. So we look at those kinds of things, and we look at secondary usage of oil and grease, which is another big thing because it gives us an idea of product and how much is being produced. So we watch that. All of that goes to casual dining and what is happening in casual dining. So these are important consumer numbers. And the biggest part, the biggest thing that I look at from a business standpoint is NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, and I look at their confidence numbers. Their confidence numbers still historically high, very good numbers, but nonetheless, we're watching the trend, and the trend is starting to continue to change. We hear a lot of people talk about trends. When we look at trends, I think 5 months, I call it a trend. Now, I changed that on Germany's industrial output that has had four in a row negative months. I am concerned about that because the last time they had a somewhat positive number, there was a lot of negative feeder numbers into that. And so I'm going to kind of count that, and I call that a trend on the downside, on a negative side. So these things are all starting to come in right now, and they're not looking real good, and I'm somewhat concerned. I'll tell you to which level I'm concerned in a minute. The other things that I'm looking at extremely close. I always look very closely at this, but I got to tell you, I've stepped it up big time, and I'm looking at countries that I don't normally look at. But when I look at Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, Germany, they are the big five banking problems right now. Germany, France, Italy, the three largest economies in the Eurozone. And we see major banking crisis. And, you know, you got to take Germany and the numbers that come out of Germany with a grain of salt. Germany are the doom and gloom kings of the world. I mean, everything is crashing. Everything is coming out. Things are always falling. Things are always bad. There's about to be a depression at any moment. Germany's been like that for 40 years. So I can't say for everybody, but for me, I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because Germany has a culture of doom and gloom. So you've got to understand that a little bit as I look at the behavior of all that. So, but the fact of the matter is, not only are we seeing banks in crisis, let me just point out Deutsche Bank, one of the largest banks in the Eurozone, the largest bank in Germany. Their stock price is down over 50% in the last 12 months. Now, you remember I wrote about this a year and a half ago, and I've been writing about it, talking about Deutsche Bank. Everybody's ignored it and continues to ignore it. Even in the midst of their stock crashing, everybody's ignoring it. Italy had all these financial woes, problems. They told the European central banks to, hey, I don't care what you say, we're doing what we want to do. Because the Eurozone came against them and said, you're in violation of the agreement. You've got too much debt. You've got to create some austerity in the government to take care of the debt. To get your debt in line with your GDP. And Italy said, oh, well, good idea, we're not doing it. What are you going to do to us? They didn't say, what are you going to do to us? I'm saying that. That had to be their attitude. That's what they're thinking. What are you going to do to us? Well, we've seen what they're going to do to them. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because there's nothing they can do. This is the third largest economy. So I'm going to go back to Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank now, what they're saying, everything's going to be fine because they're going to merge with Commerzbank, and that's the second largest bank in Germany. Germany is an okay-sized country, but it's small in comparison to the U.S. So now the two largest companies are going to be one, the two largest banks are going to be one bank. The government's going to control that one bank because they're going to have no choice. Deutsche Bank is going to get a bailout. They got a bailout a year and a half ago when everybody said, I hope. When I was laughing at everybody when they were panicking, I said, trust me, Angela Merkel is going to bail them out because 2 days before she bailed them out, she said, there's no way I'm ever going to bail them out. And I laughed at that and said, she's going to bail them out. Don't worry about it. She has to. She has no choice. She did. And they're going to be ready for another bailout. They're in big, big trouble. Everybody's discounting it. They have $60 billion. Doesn't sound like a lot. It's not huge. It's not a huge amount. But $60 billion worth of derivatives that could stand the risk of collapsing. Italy's got more than that. If the UK Brexit thing doesn't go through, this is going to be a crisis for Italian banks. I don't know what they're going to do. The Eurozone, the European Union, I should say, is not in the position to be bailing out some of these big banks. What are they going to do? And you got to understand that now if Germany gets control of the entire banking system, the government, who cares? What are they going to do about it? They can't do anything. They can't create any stimulus because of the currency. What are they going to do? Devalue their currency and ruin the northern European nations that are on the euro that are as strong as you can get? Are they going to ruin those countries because they're going to because they're worried about Germany and they're going to devalue? I don't know. Not too likely. I do know that. So I don't want to scare anybody. What I want to do is say when we look, I'm looking around the globe. Singapore's import-export numbers were absolutely pathetic. They were horrible. Singapore is an incredibly important economy. And it is shrinking and changing for the negative in a dramatic way. I don't have to tell you about China. We know what's happening in China. China's getting worse. The pound's dropping like a rock. Who knows what it's going to do and where it's going to go? Huge problems. Oil is another problem. Oil down 5% here this week alone in America. It might not be 5%, might be just under that, but it depends on what it does today. But it's on track for 5%. We'll see what happens. That's not good news. Saudi Arabia announced, came out today, then I guess it was yesterday, announced that, you know, they feel like they need $88 a barrel to break even in their for their country. That means that they're dipping into their sovereign wealth fund to the tune of, you know, $20 a barrel. That's not sustainable. They're not going to be able to do that too much longer. Russia's got a bigger problem. They need about $110 a barrel just to break even. Russia's already in a depression. They have no economy whatsoever. So I guess my concern is, and where I'm going and what I'm trying to figure out is, do we have a perfect storm brewing in the Eurozone and Asia? Where the final nail in this perfect storm's coffin is we have global central banks that can't do anything to create stimulus. They can't do anything. They don't have any ammunition. You can't do anything if you don't have any ammunition. People are arguing, even today, people are arguing about, oh, the Federal Reserve has some. I'm not talking about the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about the global central banks. We'll say X, the Federal Reserve. The other central banks of the globe, they have nothing. They have nothing to do to cut. And then you have a problem of one currency. So if Greece is crashing, they can't devalue their currency. They can't do it. They're on the euro. Now, why is that important? Because we seem to still be doing very well, and we are, and that's great. And our Federal Reserve does have ammunition, and I'm not just talking about cutting interest rates, although if the Federal Reserve, and I'm just throwing this out there, if the Federal Reserve cuts rates here in America, if they do it, it probably wouldn't be till November or December. But if they cut rates, like some are predicting, 40% right now think they're going to cut rates this year. If that happens, the markets are going to crash. Well, I thought they were going to crash if they raised. That's the problem. They're going to crash. It would be a huge, huge mistake. I find it extremely hard to believe that they would dare cut rates. Now, I said in December, I find it hard to believe they're going to raise rates. So that's out there too, and that's a real wild card for our markets, not for our economy, but for our markets. But here's what everybody is saying, by the way, including me. I haven't said anything counter to this. There's a lot of people saying that we are an island and that we don't have anything to worry about because the fundamentals, the underlying fundamentals of our economy are still strong. And that's very good. We still have good consumer confidence. We have still have good business sentiment, although it's getting worse. And there's some truth to that. That is true. It doesn't matter. And I don't know, understand why everybody is having such a hard time digesting this. I'm talking about Wall Street. I don't get it. We need the globe, the world, to do as well as we are. If we are going to continue to have thriving fundamentals, the rest of the world has to start coming with us. Primarily because our markets are highly dependent on the financial sector. The financial sector here, I don't want to say it's highly dependent, it is not, but it has significant exposure to the world. If we were to have a problem with derivatives or credit default swaps, these are instruments that are worthless pieces of paper. But as long as they keep trading, selling, buying, they're okay. They're not okay to, oh, I don't mean they're okay as if they're good, but it's not going to create an issue. We've got a quad trillion amount of money out there when we total credit default swaps and derivatives. If they begin to even fall, there's going to be a domino impact, and it's going to severely hurt American banks. That is going to dry up any liquidity that we have here in America. If that liquidity dries up, we're done. It doesn't matter what business sentiment is, it's irrelevant. Business, big business, needs cash flow. They need credit. They need monies to be in and out. It needs it. The financial sector is 27% of our economy. 27%, that's huge. Banks are everything. That's what we have to be worried about. So, the reason why I wanted to have the conference call was to share that with you, not to scare you, and please not to get you out of the market, but to do the very opposite. All I am doing is blinking yellow caution lights. That's all I'm doing. I am saying we, as long-term investors, need to proceed as long-term investors. We need to ride the worst of the times down. I'll go back to 2008, since that's the most recent everybody's memory. I could go back to 2000. I could go back to 1995. I could go back to 1987. I could go back to 1981. I could go back to 1972, I can go back to all those times. And it was the same scenario. Those who wrote it down with their core positions. For you, that means those things that are in yellow primarily. And any other, and some other large mid-cap companies. Those who rode those, their foundational pieces that didn't sell them, that kept them rode, they did very, very well. in the midst of all that might happen, you will do very well if you hang in there. Not with everything. There may be some things we sell. But you need to stay on course until I tell you not to be on course. So I tell you to get off course. And I'm not saying that now. But I want you to be aware, for what it's worth, may be meaningless to you. Some of you right now are saying, you know, Dan, too much information. I don't care. I trust you, whatever. I'm just whatever. Okay, that's great. I appreciate that. But I just do this for me. I need to give you a heads up and let you know some of the things I'm thinking and following. Now, look, you all need to be vigilant. You need to pay attention. It was so obvious to me this week that very few people went to my commentary section and read anything. It was pretty obvious. Didn't even look at my cell. You know, never went. Look, I know you want to be on cruise control. I want you to be. But you don't have work to do. You just got to watch. You just got to be vigilant so that you don't miss anything. I don't want to get the phone call, well, why didn't you tell me? And me say, I did say it. I had it on my website. I sent out an alert. I did this. I did that. I did say it. You just weren't listening. And because I know you're not listening to every program, it's important that you open every alert, that you try to check out the commentary section. It's important that you do that. So I want you to be vigilant. I don't want you to panic, and I don't want you to sell anything. But I'm going to say this to you. You know, I am going to increase cash position. Not a lot, but I'm increasing it again, and I want to give you a heads up on that. I can't make anybody do it. I can't make anybody have that. And I will say, if you're under 50, you don't have to. It's not that big of a deal. But if you're under 50 and you want to be prudent, wise, and you still have, you know, you've got some concern, then you need to pay attention and do what we do. It is getting close to a day. It's not going to be this year. Just getting closer. I'm looking at a portfolio I have of 70 stocks that I've had since 1998. I don't have one stock that is down for the year, and I don't have one stock that is down today, not one out of 70. I have another portfolio that I use that, like an industrial material portfolio, and it's only made up of 30 stocks. There's one that is down. Just one that is down. It's not down. Doesn't happen to be down today, but it is only one that's down for the year this year. I'm trying to figure out a way that I can develop this portfolio for our partners, that somehow I can disseminate this in a way that you could take your money and put it all into these things. This portfolio that I'm talking about that I've had for years has done amazing. I don't want to say offers, but I've had one real offer, just one real live offer for me to put this in a mutual fund, and they want to do it. They want to own it, and they want to possess it, and they want to do all those things. they'll let me be a consulting manager on. And I've said no, and I'm going to likely continue to say no as they ask. I don't want to do that. But I would like to figure out a way to get to our partner. I talked about it a couple years ago, and I haven't done it yet. And I'm not going to do it this year. I'm almost certain of that because of the volatility that I expect. So there are good things coming. I don't think God has given me whatever he's given me so that I can keep it under a basket. At least those that are a part of this ministry or supporting this ministry, I want them to participate in every way I possibly can. I don't need this for me. It's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the kingdom. So I'm working on that. It's one of the things I'm working on. But I want to encourage all of you to be true to your strategy, whatever it is. And your strategy is my strategy that I put forth. I don't understand why. I wish I knew. But I am getting hundreds and hundreds of emails since early December about different companies, different stocks, and can I use that? Can I do that? And are you watching this? And all those kinds of things. It's never happened before. The only thing that I can gather, and I have no idea. I don't know why. I don't know if this is true. I'm making a very broad assumption here, that it coincides with 2 months, December and January, that were record months, January being the biggest record, of brand new partners coming on. And a lot of you are probably on the call. I hope this does not sound arrogant, but I'm not paying attention to you. I'm really not. I mean, maybe I should. I'm probably really missing something great. But you need to understand that my checking, and most of the time when the things I'm getting, I don't need to check. If I see something I never saw, I can't recall the symbol or the company. I'll check it. But the moment that I see that it's not biblically responsible, do you understand that would be 0 point in me looking at that any further? And I thought when we got this screening on the website, it would slow down a bit. It really hasn't. I got an email this morning from a partner who's been a partner a long time, and he sends me an email on a stock. It just asked me if it was biblically responsible. It is, but in the time it took him to write the email, he could have gone on the website and put it in there, and he would have saw that it was. I'm not rendering opinions about these stocks. When I'm asked on air and I can talk about it, I will. Sometimes it's good, but I'm not going to encourage anybody to support abortion, pornography, gambling, or anything else. I'm not going to encourage that. Why would I do that? I'll give you an honest answer if I'm on the air or something. I'll give you an honest answer, but don't ask me. I'm not following it. For me, I don't care if it's the greatest stock in the world, Amazon, for instance. When they started, I knew how good that was, but I'm not compromising. I can't make you not compromise, but I'm not going to compromise, not for the sake of a dollar, for 10%, or for $1 million. I'm not compromising it. So don't be mad at me when I'm not responding, please. I just want you to understand that. I want you guys to stick to the plan. Don't partner with us if you don't want to. That's fine. But if you are, man, be convicted and stick with it. Now, I'm struggling with income. I just want you to know that if we continue the way we are doing, let me give you a positive example of what could happen. President Trump could extend the deadline on tariffs from March 1st to whatever. In the period of that extension, we may get a deal with China. Deal with China is done. Soon as we get that deal with China, trust me, getting a deal in the Eurozone and in Japan is going to be pretty easy. When you get that deal, it's done. We're now going to be a country with the fairest trade that America has seen in probably since 1972, when we were on the gold standard. So we're going to have an incredibly fair deal. Not only that, it's going to put billions of dollars in the coffers of the Treasury Department, which is going to be very good for our debt situation. That's one scenario that could happen that I hope happens. If that does, you guys are going to be positioned very, very good. I want to say that I think that's a real possibility. I think that the negotiating with China to cause pain on them, they've had enough pain, they get it, they understand it. We are in a place now where we can help them keep some face and we can work out a deal. If that happens, we're going to be in great shape. The markets are going to continue to do well, but more importantly, the economy is going to start clicking again on all cylinders. But you need to understand that in 1 year's time, we will be filled with uncertainty of the political outcome. And you need to understand, I'm not here to make a political statement. I'm just telling you the truth. If the Democrats win the White House, keep the House, and God forbid gain the Senate too, we're done. If it looks like that's going to happen, we need to sell pretty much everything, in my opinion. Because we're going to immediately lose business sentiment immediately. So we have to watch the business sentiment index very closely. That's something I'm watching very closely. We've got to watch the upcoming elections for 2020 and what that begins to look at. We're not really going to watch that close until April, May of next year. So we've got a period of time here that is very short, to a year and a half, before uncertainty comes rolling back in again. I think that I'm going to go back to my original scenario when I started the call. If the scenarios play out that is very dangerous, when I said to you central banks have no ammunition and they can't do nothing to create stimulus, understand the only thing that can help Russia, China, Iran, and others is going to be a war. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that's going to help them. And there's going to be a lot more incentive to do that. There's going to be mass rioting in China in another year if their economy doesn't change. They know that. They're afraid of that. They don't want another tenement square on their hands. But there will be mass rioting. If that mass rioting happens, it depends on who's in office. Will somebody go in there and try to do something about it? Not likely, but it'll be a scary thing to watch for the Chinese people and for the world. We have so many things that it can only be in end times. I think that we are seeing this. I'm not making any kind of prophecy here, but things are starting to come together as we study and look at Israel. I would ask you all to go online and begin to read Jerusalem Post and the news coming out of Jerusalem, coming out of Israel on a regular basis. Begin to follow and track, see what's going on there. To follow closely what Benjamin Netanyahu and others have been saying of what's going on. It is very, very scary. Iran is getting a stronghold in Syria. They are continuing to develop their ballistic missiles. They are taking their time. They understand that Israel has an unbelievable missile defense system, and that when they decide to attack Israel, it's got to be with huge, huge numbers, so their system will fail, and only one nuclear warhead has to get through. So I think we're in very, very, some would say from a theological perspective, in a very good time, that the Lord is coming back. But I don't think the Lord is finished with America trying, making an effort to turn America around. I got so many emails from something that I said last weekend in Richmond. And people wanting tapes of it or DVD of it or something, and asked me to say it again and record it and put it out there and all those things. And I was talking about what was happening in the left. And I'm not going to go into the great detail of that. I'll save it for the retreat maybe. And maybe we'll record something there. But we are in times that, and I, even the most, the lowest IQ Democrat in office is smart enough to know not to say this. But there is an inside ball game going on with the Democrats that absolutely has to marginalize Christianity. And they've got to be about that business as quickly as possible. New Mexico today is voting on the worst abortion bill you can imagine. And we're going to see these liberal states. And has anybody heard about it? I don't know. Maybe I'm the first one that you heard it from. You can't count on Fox News covering all this stuff. They're not doing it. We're trying. One of the things we're doing in our ministry that I know that all of you that have given to this ministry are going to be so proud that you gave and so grateful. But we're putting together a business news daily and other news daily that is going to solidly be not good conservative news, but is going to be from a biblical perspective in a really powerful way. And we're not going to be afraid to talk about the marginalization that is going on of Christians. And I believe that the bill in New York, in Virginia, in New Mexico, in Illinois, in other states that are quickly happening, is to begin to get these things through where they can. New Mexico is scared to death that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. They're scared to death. So they're doing their own thing in their state now. But I'm trying to figure out how we got from abortion being legal in the first trimester to any time. And one of the reasons why is to get a rise out of Christians. And every time one of these bills passes, and every time there's an argument, every time there's a Virginia governor or a New York a city law that is passed, we get numb. We get numb. And the number we get, the less impact it has. The less impact it has on us, the more likely we are to do nothing. They know that, folks. They know that. And we need to understand that there's a very strategic plan to this from the left. It's not about murdering babies. It's about marginalizing faith in Christians. And we will likely allow it to happen. And when we continue to allow it to happen, praise God, it'll be returning. Because there won't be any left standing firmly. Firmly. I don't mean claiming. I'm talking about standing firmly on God's word. We live in very volatile times. All of these things are impacting the economy, and they're impacting our money. I had a conversation this morning after an interview that I did this morning at 6 a.m. this morning, or 6:15 this morning. I had a conversation with the host after off the air, saying that we are economically, yes, we're in terrible times, but all the things you asked me, Steve, this guy, all the things you asked me are so irrelevant if all the things that you are predicting or saying is going to happen happens. So I said to him, and I mean, we were having, you know, friendly, you know, back and forth at this point. I said, everything you asked me was ridiculous because we can't have what you're going to happen and think for a moment that people are actually going to be worried about their money. You won't be. So now let's continue to, you know, let's grow our money. Let's plan as if it's going to be 100 years before the Lord comes back. Let's plan it. Let's try to make what we can. Get ready. Put your seatbelt on for some extremely volatile times in the market. I hope the extreme volatility is on the upside, but when we start to see one little crack begin to fester in the European financial sector, in the U.S. trade negotiations, when we start to see those cracks, if they happen and we don't get them worked out, then it's going to be the beginning of some severe times in the market. And we will have to not think about taking profits. We're going to have to think about selling out positions that are profitable while we have that profit to take and hang on to our foundational stocks and our strong companies. So I want to prepare you for volatility that could be coming as quickly as, on the downside, as quickly as next week. I hope not, but as quickly as next week. If you have positions that have been down for a long time, you might want to sell them, hold the money, maybe move it in to something else that is going to have a little bit better opportunity maybe when things turn around. So I want you to stay invested. I want you to stay confident. And I want you to examine whether you truly are in it for the long term. And I am warning you, I'm not asking, I am warning you, if you are not in it for a long-term perspective, I would sell out of your positions, foundational and all, today. I'm just warning you that you want to consider that. Don't partner because you heard somebody call in and say, I've already had it 3 months and I'm up 47%. If you partner for that reason, thinking you're going to be up 47% in the next 4 months, you're in trouble. So I want you to do a self-examination. and only have invested that you're sticking to it, money that you can say if no matter what happens, I'm not going to care about that money. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to worry about it for at least 10 more years. I'm not even going to look at it. I don't care. Because all I need, I got in cash right here. I'll be fine. That's what you have to do if you're not in that place. My thing that I really want to try to, and I thought about this. I thought about not doing it. I don't want to lose partners. I don't want to lose support to the ministry. We won't be here if that happens. I don't want that to happen. But I want you guys to be honest with yourself and really examine yourself and examine what you want to accomplish. And if you're following because you love knowing your investments, knowing what you're doing, feeling good about, honoring God, you're investing, you're going to keep investing, you're investing for the long term. When things go down, you're going to buy more. When things go up, you'll sell a little bit. But you're in it for the long term. Then, man, you and I and others, as long as we don't have the worst case scenario happening in the next 5 or 6 years, we're going to be in great shape. But if you're not there, then rethink it, please. All right, well, I went a little over some of the things that I wanted to talk about. The SunTrust Bank merger is looking like it's not going to happen with BB&T, but BB&T still has to be go. Somebody called me and said they want to sell their BB&T stock, and I said that they bought, and I said, well, I never said to buy BB&T stock. Well, I think you did. I said, are you a partner? She said, well, I'm not, but I heard you talk about it. I listen every day. And so I had a lot of BB&T stock, and I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even track it. I don't even track it. It's not biblically responsible stock. I mean, it's a bank stock. I don't even track it. Even if it was biblical, I don't own any big banks. Anyway, so we need to pay attention. We need to be careful. But I don't think that merger, Maxine Waters, until she gets paid, which I suspect she might, and she's looking for. If that happens, then maybe the merger will go through. If not, it's probably not going to go through. So anyway, we'll continue to watch that. And we'll see how all that plays out. So hang in there. Be tough. Read my article in the newsletter tonight and get a good feel for, again, what I said, some of the scenarios. But there's more negative than positive right now, and we don't like to ever be in that position and see that. So I want you to keep alert for the asset allocation models. They're probably going to change over the weekend. You're going to see larger cash positions in all of it. And I want to give you one last thing. On the asset allocation models, on the Timothy allocation models, you're going to see a little bit more cash than is going to be in a couple months. There's a very specific reason for that, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So I'm going to ask you to abide by that and stick to that larger cash position that I'm going to ask you to have in the Timothy asset allocation model. You'll be very pleased that you did as we go on. I'm going to say the same thing for the same reason on the income portfolio. When that is finished, the cash position is going to be unusually large, not because I'm worried, but because of an opportunity. So I want you to just kind of give you a heads up about those things on the asset allocation models. We will have another conference call soon. I sure appreciate all of you being with us. And keep praying. Let's pray the Lord overturn. We need to pray for this president. We need to pray for the moral fiber that is eroded to nothing in this country, that we can murder babies after they're born. We need to be on our knees. And God has done everything I can think of to get his people on their knees. And we sure are seeing a lot of that right now. So we need to be praying. And praying for America, praying for the president, praying for our leadership, that we can get out of this mess. And one of the things when we pray for our leadership, would you pray that someone would come along in the leadership of this country that is going to make sense economically and to help these men and women that are leaders to understand the responsibility they have, the problems that we have that can be fixed. And we need to pray that God would give them the will to fix the problems. They don't have it now. So easy. Fix Social Security. We can start with that. So many other areas that we can fix easily. And we need to pray the politicians would have the will to do it for the good of the country and the good of the people that elected them. That is one tough order. Not for God, but it's almost tough for us to even pray for it. Well, I hope you have a great day, a great weekend, and a good time at worship. I am so looking forward to our retreat. I need it so bad, and we are going to have a great time. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to laugh and enjoy ourselves, and I hope so many of you are going to get there and be there. I hope you have a great day.